Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 2:04 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 3rd. It was a very notable day today in the bond markets. The 10-year yield was up almost 12 basis points and a very clear, emphatic breakout with a very large upward dynamic. So this has now concluded the range that's persisted for most of the year. But perhaps more importantly than that, it's that it's completing what is effectively a 5-year base formation. And we have a succession of ranges now, one above another. The low was in 2016. It was a failed downside break. There was an emphatic upside breakout here with a large upward dynamic back in the middle of 2016. Then a substantial move in terms of the yield. Another range that persisted for an approximate range of about 50 to 60 basis points. The most recent one was in the order of about 30 basis points. But this range was notable from the perspective of the lack of volatility compared to the range we saw back in 2013 with the original taper tantrum. Well, the market is digesting what the chairman of the Federal Reserve had to say yesterday with regard to the outlook for the economy. They're going to continue to raise rates until they break something. The reality is that the economy continues to prosper on the back of the fiscal stimulus, and that is then there's also low unemployment. So the market is beginning to price in the potential that the Federal Reserve will continue to raise interest rates, and that's starting to have an effect on the 10-year yield as well as the shorter end of the curve. Today was also notable because the 30-year has also broken upwards. So the 30-year has been ranging below 3.25 for the last few months, but this is also an emphatic breakout from what is a well-defined range dating back to 2015. I've been in successive audios and videos been talking about the TIPS yield for the simple reason that there is no additional supply of TIPS planned. So you don't have the headwind to overcome of additional supply coming to this market. People are selling TIPS right now for the simple reason that they're getting leery of the bond markets. But against all of that background, the volatility on the bond, on the 10-year treasury, is close to an all-time low. So this is a rather strange set of circumstances, that you have treasuries prices, and I'll just put up an ETF that's representative, are breaking down from what are well-defined overhead trading ranges, and yet volatility has not yet picked up. Well, that's a rather an anomaly within the market, and it would seem to be something that is eventually going to be explored by short sellers. Well, the total return on the 10-year won't be updated until tomorrow, but I think the most important point is, and it just goes back to something that we discuss in the chart seminar, is that once a trend that was previously very consistent becomes inconsistent, that tells us in simple terms that the imbalance between supply and demand that created the consistency of the trend is no longer in evidence, and therefore something has changed. If we can identify what the change is, if we can identify what the contradiction in a massive bull market like this is, then we have a clue to what will eventually result in the top formation being concluded. But the real issue here is that we have evidence of type 3 top formation development on the total return in 10-year yields. And considering that this has been one of the most impressive bull markets in history, a loss of momentum is a very, very large change in the market. Well, the reason that yields are going down is more because of growth and the perceptions of risk rather than inflationary pressures. Inflation has been distinctly absent in terms of how the central banks tend to measure it. Well, certainly the cost of living is increasing and asset prices have gone up a lot, but That's not, generally speaking, how the Federal Reserve measures inflation. Then you also have the risk parity strategy, which is pioneered by Ray Dalio. Well, that looks at the relative volatilities of competing asset classes and lays off the risk one against another. If bond prices are pulling back, then that would necessitate that some money be taken off the table and put into cash or being redeployed into equities. Well, the S&P 500 didn't quite hold all of its advance in here today, and the Dow Jones was also well off its highs. But the progression of higher reaction lows remains intact. Now, the pace of the advance has certainly moderated, but so have the amplitude of the ranges. So this continues to represent a trend that is still in motion, but there's an increasingly wide overextension relative to the trend mean. So I don't think it's beyond the bounds of possibility that that at least the upper side of the underlying trading range, or the peak that we saw back in January, could be retested. That's, I think, a potential outcome. Then the other big market that we had moving in here today was oil prices. And Brent crude was up another dollar, so it is now trading well above the $85 area. This has so been a pretty emphatic breakout that we've seen so far this week. And when we look at the weekly chart, I think the pace of the advance is picking up. We haven't seen a move like this since the beginning of the year. And every time it's broken out already, then we've had rallies of approximately $10. So if the upper side of the underlying range is at 80, well, it's not beyond the bounds of possibility. In fact, it's what we would expect if the trend is going to remain consistent, that the price would continue upwards until approximately $90. But that also holds out the prospect of trouble for the consumers of oil. Well, the USA is increasingly moving towards energy independence, and that's a significant factor. There's also the fact that natural gas prices have been rallying over the last few days, and they have at least broken up and out of the range that's persisted for most of this year, particularly following that big pullback we had in January. But natural gas prices are really comparatively low, and most particularly compared to the peak values that we had back in the most bullish phase of the commodity bull market. But the headwind that oil prices represents for Europe, Japan, India, China, all the major consumers, isn't something that can simply be brushed aside. It does represent a headwind that has to be dealt with and acts as a drag on growth, whereas it's less of a drag on growth to the USA on this occasion, simply because the US is so close to energy independence. When we do look at what's going on in Europe, well, Theresa May has flagged up the potential that the fiscal straitjacket is going to be shed, and that is holding out the prospect of a fiscal stimulus being deployed in the UK. Well, the FTSE was in positive territory in here today, and when we look at the FTSE 250, which is representative of more of a domestic orientation, then the index has bounced from above this 20,000 level. And 20,000 had been an area of resistance for a lot of last year, and it should offer an area of support on this occasion, not least because it's coinciding with the region of the trend mean. If the US, excuse me, if the UK economy follows the US into a fiscal stimulus, then that's likely to act as a tailwind for the FTSE 250 because it's primarily a domestic play. Well, Italy in here today, they said that in some form of compromise that they would perhaps think about reducing the size of the deficit after 2020. Well, there's an awful lot of Italian debt has to be refinanced between now and 2020. So, I think they are in many respects dreaming if they think that they're going to be able to refinance all of that debt at accommodative levels. Well, the bond yield did pull back a little in here today, but this continues to look like a first step above the base. I think, and it would really require a sustained move below the trend mean to question that conclusion. if we were to simply take the labels off the chart, there is nothing particularly bearish about this chart other than the fact that you have just a very short-term overbought condition. So you have the UK and Italy moving towards fiscal stimulus in Europe. Now the big question is whether Germany and France and the Netherlands can be brought along for the ride. What we see we've got abundant evidence of is that quantitative easing doesn't particularly work in terms of stimulating the domestic economy. It's much better at inflating asset prices, and the trickle-down effect is concentrated heavily in asset owners rather than renters or savers. Fiscal stimulus tends to be more broadly dispersed, so there is the potential that Europe will eventually get the bug for fiscal stimulus, but the moral hazard that that would represent for Germany to fund the profligacy in Italy or Greece, well, that's something that's a big obstacle that would have to be overcome. Well, the Greek index remains under pressure, and it was in additional in new lows in here today. And it has been trending lower for all of this year. Well, it's coming back down towards the lows we saw in 2016 and again in 2012, but there isn't really a case yet to be made for recovery. So Europe continues to have these issues, and the solution is staring it in the face, but quite whether they can muster the wherewithal to support a fiscal stimulus is very much open to question. Then when we look at what's going on in Japan, well, the central bank is buying stocks, and the central bank is weakening the currency, and they're also engaged, well, they're not engaged in fiscal stimulus, but that's not far off it either. Well, there's a short-term overbought condition evident on the Nikkei right now, and it was down about 160 points in here today, but I think it really would need to sustain a move below the trend mean to even begin to question that this isn't still a bull market environment. And India has been in the headlines persistently because of the pressure that's coming to bear on the banking sector, and it gave up all of the rally yesterday today. Well, the Bombay Banks Index tends to lead on the upside, and it was in additional negative territory in here today. So even within this range that's persisted over the last week, there's a downward bias. And Axis Bank was leading on the downside in here today. So it really looks like we're getting them taking turns. Axis Bank was in together with Yes Bank were the two lenders that were well had the tenure of their CEOs shortened. But now the Axis is pulling back from the upper side of its range. Well, the weakness of the rupee is also weighing on the market, and it was at another new low in here today. So India definitely has issues, and this continues to represent a medium-term corrective phase. The mainland Chinese market remains shut, but Hong Kong is certainly trading, and it was also in negative territory in here today. It definitely has got a lot of work to do to really demonstrate that we're back in a demand-dominated environment, and that has not yet been proven. Well, when we take a step back and think about the fact that US Treasury yields are rising, but not necessarily because of inflationary pressures, or then I think it really comes down to the fact that when we think about what the value of the 2-year is currently around 2.87%, whereas the federal funds rate is in the region of 2.25. Well, that really only meant that until this week, the bond market was predicting two additional rate hikes over between now and late 2020. So that's not particularly ambitious, and I think the bond market is now beginning to price in the potential that there are going to be more than two rate hikes, that there could even potentially be four next year. Well, They're still thinking that the Federal Reserve will have to start cutting rates at some point in 2020, but that's a very measured bet to be taking when you have the Federal Reserve chairman being so bullish about the economy. And this is a, we're getting to a point now where the dollar has rallied, bonds are pulling back, and equities are still okay. Well, eventually that yield is going to rise to a level where it becomes highly competitive with equities, and then that is going to be a challenge. But what was interesting today is that the longer end of the curve is rising faster than the shorter end, and at the yield curve spread has rallied approximately 10 basis points over the course of the last month. Well, this move that we've seen over the last three or four sessions is beginning to look like more than a short-term rally, that we're going to get at least a pause in here in terms of this compression in the yield curve spread that we've had. Well, that also holds out the prospect that we're not going to have an inverted yield curve imminently, and that we could see a longer period of expansion in the economy. And that, I think, is also being reflected in the stock market. So when we look at the NASDAQ, it is right in the region of the peak we saw back in August, but it's still holding this upward bias. The biotech sector, which had looked so, I think, encouraging on Friday, was down for two consecutive days and was in a bit more positive territory in here today. Well, I continue to think that biotech represents one of the better opportunities right now because it is highly cyclical, and this is around the time when one would anticipate that you'd have cyclical shares doing better. Well, the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index continues to pause around this 1400 point level, and it was in very barely positive territory in here today. When we look at, for example, microchip technology, it was breaking downwards on Monday, and it's extending that decline in here today. Whereas Nvidia, which has been the relative strength leader within the semiconductor sector throughout this bull market, has continued to push on to new high ground. So the commonality within the sector is beginning to degrade. Then Advanced Micro Devices had done spectacularly well up to its earnings, but now it is susceptible to some pause and consolidation at the very least. And this was a pretty emphatic day on the downside for about half the session. And one wonders now whether this is a low of at least near-term significance, that it could spend some time ranging, and that would allow the overextension relative to the trend mean to be unwound. Well, when we think about where the market is going, I think there's plenty of evidence that we are at a point where we're in the latter stages of this expansion, but it's not over, and there is the potential that we're going to get a melt upwards, that people will conclude that this is the best economy anyone has seen in decades, and that the only thing to do is to be long. Well, there's been an enormous number of IPOs, particularly for companies that don't make any money. And well, it's a good time to be selling your company, because you're probably going to get a pretty rich valuation for it, and the access to liquidity is still abundant. So that conspires to create an environment where there's lots of new supply coming to the market. Well, right now there's a lot of supply getting taken out of the market because of companies going private, but because of the buybacks. Well, the buybacks got a particularly large burst of energy this year because so much money was being brought back from overseas. It'll be less of a burst next year. So that's, I think, an indication that perhaps next year we could start to see the supply of shares starting to rise again. And it's quite characteristic in the latter stages of a bull market that you get supply starting to increase. But that's not really happening this year. It's probably going to be an issue for next year. In the meantime, stock market trends remain broadly consistent, and as long as that remains the case, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But when we think about what are the contradictions in this market, well, one of the contradictions that is glaring is that you can have bond yields so low for so long because the government is going to buy them all. Well, that's or that you can have $7 trillion of bonds that are still with negative yields and hope to buy them on a yield to maturity basis and make money. So those are certainly some of the contradictions. Well, eventually we're going to get a new kind of battery that comes to the market, and that really will up just turn the economics of electric cars on its head. But right now, you have companies that are producing electric cars at a loss, and the market is pricing them as if they're making a profit. So that is an inherent contradiction. It really smells to me of the kind of thing that you get in a bubbly kind of environment, that people believe the story. And I think it's extraordinarily likely that we're going to have electric vehicles become one of the predominant forces in the transportation market 10 years from now. But that doesn't mean that we can't have a bubble in the sector before and a crash afterwards and then get delivered all of that later. Because that is what we had with the internet back in the 2000s. So that I think is something that is worth considering, particularly when we think about Tesla. Tesla had rebounded following the slap on the wrist that Elon Musk received, but it has failed to push back above the trend mean. And if it's trading below the trend mean, it tells us that the bias to trading over the last year is downwards. So that's, I think, an important consideration. And Netflix was pretty much unchanged in here today, but it is a little bit overbought in the short term. And there is a lot of good news has been priced into the shares of Netflix. Personally, I've stopped watching Netflix, so I don't know how many other people feel like that, but I find the kinds of shows that they're producing to be rather formulaic. And the share has at least stopped going up, that it's going to become progressively more expensive for them to acquire new clients. Well, then when we think about rather than the disruptors, the incumbents, well, Disney has been ranging for nearly 4 years, and it was looking pretty hairy back in 2016. But if it can sustain a move above 120, well, then we're back in a demand-dominated environment. What I also find interesting is that the S&P 500 Dividend Aristocrats are doing better, and they have rebounded almost as well as the wider market over the course of the last few months. And now we're getting some pause and consolidation. Well, they should at least bear some challenge from the rise in yields because of the bond-like characteristics of their cash flows. But when we look at those dividends, then we're getting dividend growth rates in the order of 19% year over year and 13% on a 3-year basis. So that's pretty impressive, and that also adds some insulation against the potential for yields to rise. But perhaps the biggest risk right now is in bond funds. These are the kinds of things that portfolios own in order to lend some stability, and it looks increasingly likely that they are going to look really unfortunate over the course of the balance of this year if this breakout in the treasury yield is sustained. For example, municipals are often bought in the US for their tax advantages. And this looks like a pretty consistent downtrend since the middle of 2016. So I think the clear risks right now are in the fixed income market. And what that also suggests is that, well, the antithesis to the bond market would be growth, and biotech does represent growth. So I think with that final thought, I'll leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you. Wrong one, wrong one, wrong one. Hello? 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 Hey, how's it going? Not too bad. It's just finishing off the video there, so I had to decline the call when you phoned 5 minutes ago. But that's I'm done now. That's impressive. Oh, yeah. Yeah, do a bit of shopping around. You know, because I see them like for sale here now. They're like in the order of about $1,000. Yeah. You know, so don't buy the first one you see. Like, you know, make sure that you do a bit of shopping around. Well, you know, in Ireland, they're probably going to be a lot more expensive than that. You know, so you find out what the price is, and then I'll find out what the price is here. And you know, if the price is lower here, we can find out what the shipping cost would be, and we just ship it over, and you know, it might work out cheaper. You know, so you know, just don't be too presumptuous, like, you know. Because cycling's big business here, like. So, yeah. Huh? Yeah, but you know, as long as the weather's fine, you know, you might as well enjoy the cycling while you can, because it ain't going to be there forever, like. They were even predicting rain here today, because we're getting. They were thinking anyway we were going to get the arse end of the hurricane that was hitting Mexico, but no sign of it yet, anyway. You can never really bet on rain here. You know, whenever they predict it, it seldom arrives. So. Yeah. Yeah, sure. They, I think they can absorb it out of the air, like. No, I was in the gym there yesterday, it was, and the day before it was very tough on the, I was in like a class, and the class was very tough on the legs. I went cycling, I did the cycling class today, and it was much better. Yeah, it's kind of worked out the lactic acid. That's great. Just formatting my stuff here away while I'm talking to you. So in certain times I can't chew and I can't think and chew gum. So know, it's I guess got to get it right because I'm a bit running over today. There's a big move in the markets today. The U.S. 10-year yield on the bonds went up a lot. So. That's, the chairman of the Federal Reserve yesterday said the economy is almost too good to be true. So, that was sort of a green light for, more interest rate hikes. So that's definitely going to it's going to have an influence on mortgage rates and all that sort of stuff. These aren't this isn't the kind of stuff that you kind of doesn't go unnoticed like. Huh? Tis 4,000. Did you see we get to write that off because of the business? So that's the one benefit. We don't really actually pay that at all because. It's 50% of it is deducted for the rent for the business. You can see the entire garage is a warehouse. So that's huh? So yeah, that's a big consideration, like. That's that's kind of funny, isn't it? Like when you'd be exercising, some days you're firing in all cylinders, and other days then you can't barely lift a leg. Yeah, because that happens to me sometimes too. I'd be, grand one day and then just exhausted the next day, so I just take it easy. Yeah, sort of like you're, tis there's no better feeling like when everything's working as it should. Say it again. Oh, yeah. Okay, I better let you go, so. There's a lot of background noise going on now. I sort of like feedback. I gotta turn down the sound, it's very loud. No, it might be it, it's either that it's plugged in, so it might be picking up the feedback. No, I got like that's powerful cycling like. Yeah, I was at a cycling class this morning too. And just Ashley has another fencing competition this weekend. So yeah, she's kind of getting a bit better every time, like. She's after going to a few of them now, she's starting to get the hang of it, and she's not as easily intimidated now as she was then a while ago. So that's good for him. And she's making friends too, so that's good. Sorry, I can't hear you. Oh, yeah, I imagine so. That's a fairly substantial cycle, like so. So like you'd be mountain man altogether if you weren't tired after it. So, is it you made it yourself or they made it for you? Yeah, I'm trying to write the description for the video. So just basically I have to say what's in the video before they watch it, so they can see, they can decide whether they want to watch it or listen to it or not, So yeah. You must have a fairly big collection of them now. Done now. I just have to pause this. I'm telling you that the yawning, the yawning is contagious across an ocean. They're predicting here that there's going to be some form of coolness or wetness or something in the next for the next few days, but they'll probably do no more than drizzle. There's been no, I think we had one day of rain in July, and that was it since about March. Like it's proper desert-like.